The question was asked, being that Hashem is watching over what's going on here, and he's allowing for things to go on, not only allowing, but supporting what's going on. He gives us the capacity to think, to do, to act. How can it be that man does things that are overtly against Hashem, and he continues living? So there are, as far as I know, two approaches to this. One approach is found in Rav Moshe Cordoviro's work, The Tomer Dvora, where he discusses that Hashem is a kil ne'elav. Hashem is, so to speak, on the one hand, he is the omnipotent. On the other hand, he allows us to, so to speak, embarrass him. We do things that no one else would allow someone else to do. You know, I gave the example a few weeks ago. If someone came and asked you for an egg, and you gave them the egg, and then they bashed it in your face, and then they said, "Can I have another one?" You'd say, "Get out of here." And Hashem gives us every morning the capacity to function, and we do things that are completely disrespectful with that capacity, and Hashem keeps giving us koch and the things we need in order to function. So that's the idea that we learn from Hashem, Hashem's tremendous compassion, that he says, "I'm willing to work with you in spite of all of man's weaknesses and shortcomings." Rabba Munatecha, Hashem continuously has faith in us and continuously gives us the capacity to function, as that is the Erech HaPayim, the patience Hashem has, slow to anger, allowing us to have time to fix our actions. So that's one approach. There's another approach, which is very often referred to as tzimtzum, that Hashem, so to speak, diminishes himself, which is really a broader concept, which can be easily understood with the following analogy. Is Hashem everywhere? Yes, Hashem's everywhere. So is Hashem here? A person says, pointing to himself. So you say, yeah, Hashem's everywhere. So then a person says, okay, so listen to me, then I am Hashem. So you say, no, you're not. So he says, but wait a second, I thought you said Hashem's everywhere. So if Hashem is in me, so then why am I not Hashem? So then you say, okay, the amount of revelation of Hashem is different in different places. Oh, so then Hashem is not everywhere. So you answer, no, Hashem is not everywhere to the same degree. Ah, how can that be? So that's the concept of tzimtzum. Okay, coming back to the concept. Off of the analogy, back to the concept. The concept is that Hashem limits his revelation. And obviously this is a dangerous concept. It's an important concept. Nonetheless, it is dangerous. The essence of tzimtzum is that Hashem gives us free will, and he doesn't zap us when we go against his will. That's tzimtzum. Technically, the world should only run in accordance with his will. And yet Hashem gives us the capacity to function, and that capacity includes Bechira Chofshit, where we can make the wrong choices, and we will not be zapped, and we can continue to make the wrong choices. If every time you made the wrong choice, you'd be like a mouse that suddenly gets zapped. So how could you ever make the wrong choice? Part of Bechira Chofshit is that element of Tzimtzum, that Hashem says, I'm not going to get involved. I'm going to let you make mistakes and learn and do tshuva. Oh, I might get involved in other ways, but it won't be so obvious. And that's the why we have Bechira Chofshit. So even though Hashem is intimately involved, nonetheless, part of his being intimately involved says, I'm not going to reveal myself every time things go wrong. That way you will have Bechira Chofshit. And if you want to understand that better, so I recommend you take the book, If You Were God.
If You Were God?
There's a beautiful book by Rav Arya Kaplan called If You Were God, a short pamphlet.
I like his books.
Yeah, so that's a book which... It's not focused on this concept, but in passing it addresses the concept. If you do not find the book here, If You Were God. If you don't find the book here, I think I have an extra copy at home I could lend you.
Wait, is that the revelation of godliness from God's perspective is always the same, but only from a human, the person looking through their own eyes at the world that God created, they receive the revelation depending on their own merits or not merits.
That's a sophistication of the concept. It doesn't preclude what I said. It's a more sophisticated way of presenting it.
Or are you saying that there literally is more revelation of godliness at the Harabayit or somewhere else? There's not less revelation. Or is it just because of the way that people look at this?
Why does it have to be either or? Why can't it be both?
I didn't say that.
Okay, so I think both are true. I think there are places of greater revelation, and then there are people who perceive greater revelation. Both are true.